Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. And let's just go through this, okay? I hope that you all know by now that I believe the gospel of Christ. I believe the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. I do not believe that you can believe unless you hear. I believe you can believe in things, but he says in Romans 10, matter of fact, before you go to Ephesians 1, go to Romans 10 to get the concept of this in Romans 10. In Romans 10, 13. In Romans 10, 13, verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I believe that. I believe the Lord means it. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." The context is about Israel first, and then obviously heathen. How could a Gentile, or how could a Jew, ever believe if he doesn't have an apostle sent to him? A preacher. Does Paul consider himself an apostle, pastor, teacher, preacher, evangelist? Those kind of things. 2 Timothy says he's the apostle, preacher, and teacher of the Gentiles. Correct? Look in verse 16. "But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." The context of Romans was about Israel. Look in verse 1. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Does God, Paul, know that there'll be a day when all Israel shall be saved? Romans 11, 25 and 26 is very clear on that. And it says, "So all Israel shall be saved." The prayer here is for the Israelites that are elect according to grace. Turn to Romans 11, verse 5. "Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace." Here's the description of grace. "And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work." It's fast confusing. No, grace is grace. Works is works. Grace ain't works, and works ain't grace. Right? The idea of Paul, was he sent to a Jew first? Was his message so that someone could be in the body of Christ? Let's see. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Mrs. Ham and I were discussing this. There was a promise in the Old Testament in Galatians chapter 3 verse 8, and it was in Genesis chapter 12. "In Abraham all families of the earth would be blessed." The devil knew that there was something coming that would bless families. He knew it was going to be the son. If he could get the son killed by the people that he came to, then God's anger would stop the promise. But he didn't know that the promise was about a spirit, not about flesh. Are you with me? Say yes, no, I don't care. It's about a spirit, not flesh. The fleshly Christ was there to save Israel. What did they do? They crucified him. The fleshly Christ was king. What did they say? "We have no king but Caesar. Crucify him." Did God Almighty know they'd do that? He was going to take their crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and he would save anyone by the cross that would hear it, believe it, and trust it. Are you with me? The devil didn't know that. He thought if he got the fleshly Christ killed by the people, the anger of God would go against them, and if he would go against Israel, there wouldn't be any hope for the world. You see, the covenant said, I'll bless who blesses you and curse who curses you. If there's no Israel to bless, then there wouldn't be any hope for anyone. One more time. If you've got someone out here and if you help him, the rest of the people will love you, and all of a sudden he ain't there, what do you got? You ain't got no way to get the people to love you any longer. But it's not going to be the flesh of Christ. The difference between Peter and Paul. Peter is associated with the flesh. Paul is associated with the Spirit. That's the differences in the message. The flesh will inherit the kingdom of heaven. The Spirit, we've already been translated in the kingdom of His dear Son. Colossians 1:13. They say there ain't no difference. You're out of your mind. This is about the earth. This is about far above all heavens. This gospel tells them that if they will repent and be baptized for remission of sins, they shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and their sins will be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. He left, and Peter believed he would return. Paul is totally happy that the Lord is there, because seated far above all heavens, he is blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And he begins to write these kind of things, and people miss it because they're so busy trying to grab this man as our apostle. He is not our apostle. He is not to be followed as our apostle, nor is the doctrine that he was taught is our doctrine. The doctrine that we have is Paul, for he is the apostle of Gentiles. But Jews get to go into the body first because they are elect according to what? Grace. Paul's message is grace. Peter's message is working righteousness for the Gentiles, and for the Jews, repentance. Are you all right? Now watch. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one what? One body. Yea or nay? One body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles. Are you a Gentile? Then how do you get in the body? By one Spirit. Okay? Whether we be bond or free, have all been made to drink into one Spirit. All right, go back to Ephesians 1. Now remember, we were reading in Romans. He said, my prayer to God for Israel is they might be saved, for I bear them record. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. And they, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness, everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. All right, Ephesians 1. Look with me in verse 12. That we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Those who first trusted in Christ got to hear the message first. They got to hear the gospel first. Ain't no problem. They got to hear the gospel first. Folks, somebody in here got to hear the gospel before somebody else in here. That ain't no problem. I would say the first to hear the gospel in here might have been Mrs. Griffin or Mrs. Hamlet, whoever was in here, Mrs. Bearden. Whoever was here before others were. Mrs. Russell, Mr. Russell. I don't know who got to hear it first, but somebody in here got to hear it first before the rest of us characters did. Probably was Mr. Russell and Mrs. Russell from Brother Moore. Brother Moore is not your Savior. Christ is. Furthermore, allowed you to hear it. That ain't no big deal, folks. That's what Ephesians 4 is about. He gave some prophets, pastors, and teachers to teach and show you the truth. It's for you to be able to hear. Now, wait a minute. Verse 12. In whom you also trusted. Well, how do you reckon the Ephesians trusted? What did they have to do? They had to hear. That's all it's about, is hearing, folks. You know, the right place at the right time is a good thing, ain't it? See, everything about that, you're at the right place at the right time, you get to hear the right thing. That's just the way you hear it, all right? In whom you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with, and this is the key. What does it say? Tell me. That is the key. That holy, what? Of all he is emphasizing here is there came a point in time when the Ephesians got to hear the gospel that lets you have that what? In Galatians 3:8, it said, turn with me to Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. The body is one. And if you separate from it by some other doctrine, you are not endeavoring to keep the unity of the body. Folks, it's hard enough to get people in here, but when you want to separate because you think you know something, you're doing wrong. That's the problem with people. They think they get to know and they puff up. Folks, don't puff up. Enjoy. You're part of it. Now watch. Puff up about gasoline. Something else. Don't worry about it. Now watch in Galatians 3:8. And the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, how? Through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, and thee shall all nations be blessed. Now, if he preached 1 Corinthians 15:3 to Abraham, would the devil have known it? If he had said to Abraham, there'll be a time come when Jesus Christ will die for their sins, be buried and rose again the third day, would the devil know that? He don't know that. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8, 5 through 8. But he knows that the heathen can be justified by something in Abraham. So whatever it is in Abraham, he's got to kill, get rid of, or do something about. He thought that the fleshly Christ would be the blessing for the families of the earth. Instead, it would be the crucifixion that would be the blessing, because when Jesus Christ died, what did he give the Father? He gave them his Spirit through faith. Right? Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. When Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, they were reunited. He got the Spirit back, and you know what? There's a day in your life when you get to receive it. Are you with me? Romans chapter 8. Turn with me. Now, folks, it don't matter whether you're black, white, green, or yellow. And it don't matter whether you're male or female. It don't matter whether you're a Jew or Greek. If you don't have this, you're not Christ. And you don't belong to God. In Romans chapter 8, verse 9. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not what Spirit? God explains to you that the Spirit of my Son is what I'll give you if you trust. And if you have it, what are you? You belong to Him. Now, that sounds like a promise. So Romans chapter 8, verse 24. He said, for we are saved by what? Hope. Now, if you don't ever get to hear the gospel, then you don't have any. Okay, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. Folks, that's before the cross. These people did not bless Israel. Nor did you. Are you with me? You didn't bless an Israelite. Okay, now watch. Were you in an uncircumcised state as far as covenants? Yes. And I know that's hard for you ladies in here, but men, you understand what I'm talking about. By the way, if you want to add that to it, you ladies in here that are married to a man, if he wasn't in the covenants in time past, you know what you are? You're without hope also. How salvation was in the time past. Okay, now what? Wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision flesh made by hands. But at that time, you were without who? You see, before the cross, to get Christ, what did you have to do? You had to bless Israel. Time passed. Okay? If you were in an uncircumcised state, the only way that you could have had Christ when he physically came in the flesh was to be associated with a Jew some form or fashion. Bless him. Okay? He said to the Ephesians, you weren't that. You didn't do that. Okay? He says, verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having what? No hope and without God in the world. But now, the greatest two words of Paul, but now in Christ, what in the world does he mean in Christ? In Christ. Not by Christ. In Christ. What did he do? He died for our sins and was buried and rose again the third day, and God justified in the resurrection of Christ. All right, now read again. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes far off, made now by what? What was shed at Calvary? The blood. Ephesians chapter 1, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. His blood, folks, His blood. The devil didn't know the blood could be applied to us. If he did, he wouldn't have crucified him. Say yes. Amen. Amen. Now why? He says, but now in Christ Jesus, you are sometimes far made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition between us. The middle wall of partition. Well, it must be circumcision, uncircumcision. Watch. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. The ordinances that were given in the book of Acts was to appease the Jews who are circumcised because the uncircumcised weren't keeping them. Okay? For to making himself of twain, and that's not choo-choo twain, that's two. Twain, one new man so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God. Read it out loud with me. In one body, how? By the cross. Now, what did he do at the cross? Say what he did at the cross. He died for our sins and was buried. And he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You have been made partakers of the Scripture because now you've been made partakers of that Holy Spirit of promise. By grace you're saved. You are not saved strictly by grace. It's by grace you're saved. You heard the gospel. Folks, get it. The gospel of Christ is not for by grace are you saved. The gospel of Christ is He died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. By grace you got to hear that and are saved. Are you with me or not? I never taught you anything different from that. But people, they go and grab more. And they grab more because they have trouble with the fact that Paul was baptized and did things and became a Jew as one that was without the law. And one. Folks, that's just the ones that first trusted Christ. But you know what? While that's all going on, there was still one what? Body. There's still one body. One more time. There is one body. And by one Spirit are we all into one body. Who do you reckon was the first in the body? Paul. That's what he said. Are you okay so far? All right, now watch. The key. Verse 16. And that he might reconcile both. So there must be two here. Well, I expect that's the saints and faithful, that he shows the difference because you get it doctrinally sound and you understand that somebody got it first and then somebody else got it. And the ones that got it first, yes, they were in there by hope. No one here, he's by grace. But they got the same body. They got in the same body and they're reconciled the same way by the blood of Christ, by the gospel of Christ. For there's only one gospel. Or if there's another, there'll be perversion and trouble. Okay? And he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain enmity thereby. And here's the key. And came and preached peace to you which were, and to them that were. Now, it says peace. What is the gospel of peace? Don't be afraid. What's the gospel of peace? Amen, Mrs. Russell. That's the gospel of peace. He said, they preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Isn't that what Romans 10 says? Let's see about peace. Turn to Romans. Are you all right? I'm not doing something wrong. I usually do. In Romans 5, verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. How? Are you at peace with God? Do you know why? He died for your sins. He was buried and rose again the third day. By grace, you got to hear of your salvation. You see, folks, God really didn't have to preach it to us if He didn't want to. Because we're not in the covenants. But God's grace that I want them to hear it too. And I really think about this sometimes. The absolute true enemies of Israel, God saved. Don't you know that through them for a loop? That would be like, are you listening? What's the first letter in the canon of scriptures written to by Paul? If you're in the canon of scripture, how's it laid out? What's the first letter? Who do the Jews hate? And they're justified. How about it? Who would they have hated worse than anybody probably? And yet they said, well, no king was Caesar crucified. Well, they hated Caesar, but they didn't like this man that tore up their house party. He tore up their religious attitudes and said they're wrong. You transgress the commandments of God with your tradition. But they hated Rome. You know they hated Rome. They're in bondage to Rome. and in the first canon of Scripture, not the first letter Paul wrote, but in the canon of Scripture laid out in God's holy word, the first letter is written to their enemies, showing them that he raised him, justifying them. Yea or nay? Imagine what it did to them when they found the Ephesians who had the temple of Diana. They were part with the Romans and everyone else that believed in one body, saved by God, without any works whatsoever. And no wonder he was beat to a pulp and eventually died in prison. Folks, he's in prison because he preached to people and wrote to people later in prison that deserved nothing but the wrath of God.
Did the Jews stone him, or was it some of those people that made
idols? I can only take your word. Scripture, you're talking about they were mad at him because he turned them from it. Is that what you're talking about there? I'm not sure what you're... Oh, yes. The context is they took him out because of what he preached. Is that right? The Pharisees, I'm sure, are part of it, ain't they? I mean, as far as I can tell in the Scripture, but they're angry at what he's preached to them. Why did they stone Stephen? What did he tell them they did? Well, see, Paul goes to people that are very superstitious and idolatrous and everything else, and he's trying to show them the true God that they ought to be worshiping. And folks, I'm telling you, I ain't never been stoned, but I've had them looks. I mean, you start telling people. I mean, like the other day, that guy, when he backed up from me a yard, here's a man that's confessing the Lord in front of me, saying it's death, burial, resurrection. But when I tell him there's a difference between Peter and Paul, he steps back from me and says, it's like, oh my God, what a heretic. Well, folks, if it's legal, he'd have probably stoned me. And you know how it feels with your relatives and other people when you try to show them, listen, here's the honest truth. You ain't no good. Your mom and daddy ain't no good. There ain't no one any good. You ain't never going to get good enough. You can't go to church enough. You can't give enough. You can't do enough. There ain't no way you're going to heaven the way you are. You're going to have to trust Christ to be the one that got you there. And that absolutely, you're forgiven, and you don't have to confess your sins. But there's where it stops. No, sir. That's where it stops. You see, the confession is the Lord Jesus, not your sins. You have to confess Him. And if you don't, and you're confessing sins, then everything you do is sacrificing the devils because you're still a heathen. This room is full of heathens. We're heathens. We're not circumcised proselytes. We're heathen. I know that when I see you eat. You know that when you see me eat. Folks, we're just heathen. That ain't a bad word. That is a nation. We're without God. And God's mediator was the Lord. And it's as if the Lord said, Father, accept them. And God says, through you, I will. And he did. So, if someone came to me and said, Jerry, how much you know about the Bible? I said, nothing. So I want to tell you something. You believe in Jesus Christ? I said, well, I heard him all my life. Well, he's the Son of God. I said, how come? Well, he's raised from the dead. Well, folks, that's the gospel of God. God's using a tool there to show me that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Say, do you believe that? Well, yeah, I believe he's raised from the dead. I believe that because that's all my mom and daddy ever talk about, or the Bible that I read and so forth. All right, now I'll tell you the good news. When he died for your sins. He was buried, God let him go into hell for you, and then on the third day, God forgave you and raised his son, and God satisfied. Will you accept that? And I say, oh my God, can it be that easy? Yes, it's that easy. It's easy enough for you to believe and see that he has already died for your sins. And God is satisfied. Yes, Lord, I accept that. Bang! He fills you with that Holy Spirit upon us. Say, I don't feel that. No. And if the man don't show me I'm sealed with that Holy Spirit upon us, I won't know that. I'm still a baby. But if somebody shows me that God sealed me with the Holy Spirit upon us, praise God, then I have absolute meat to chew on. And I'm so happy about it. Folks, I look at my life, what a miserable mess I've made of, and what a miserable person I am, and I look at the glory of God and the grace of God that's applied to me, and I thank God. Because I'm saved by grace. And people say, well, why are you so cruel about religion? Because religion sucks. It's always trying to bring his own righteousness. It's always trying to show people how good they are. They aren't good. Folks, God said you got a vile body. So I clean it up today, I took a bath. Has nothing to do with that. It's vile. And you know that when you try to do good, you'll do evil. It's always there. It's present with you. No matter what you do, either the thought process or the action is there. And it's hard, and it bites, and it is a wrestle day in and day out, because if you knew you could get away with it without getting caught, you'd do it. But you don't, because you figure you might get caught. Most people are afraid of the law or things, and they don't do it, but that don't mean they don't want to. Well, why is that want to there? Some people say when you get saved, you want to quit. Some people are lying, too. I'm not pressing you to go out and sin. You won't have a problem. You don't need me to press you. I would love for you to live godly, and I would love for you to try to live the best you can. But first and foremost, you better be in the body. For if you're not in the body, you're not saved. Now, go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. And Ephesians 1 again. If Paul was to move to Selma and go to First Baptist and preach, what would they do to him? When he said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And then when he began to show how that water wasn't for this age, and that you were totally forgiven, and you had to confess Jesus Christ, and that you had to trust that God would not impute trespasses unto you, how long would he be there? Then why would I be astounded by their unbelief? It hasn't changed. It's just we're more modern. We dress different, act different. Paul's message is just as effective today as it was then. It's just as meaningful today as it was then. And it's just as hated today as it was then. Because the same God of this world has to prevent Paul's message from being understood. For if that gospel is preached, the light of the glorious gospel can shine into their hearts. Thus, the gospel must be perverted, and it is. The perversion's there. I had two tracks that were in my truck. I asked Kathy, I said, she was the last one who drove my red truck, and I said, where'd you get these tracks? She said, I can get them. So I got somebody come by her one day and left them in my truck. I began to read them, and it was from a guy, Dan, what was his name? Dan something. And I thought, what was it? I don't think. No. And the first thing I read, it's got a list of things that the sinner ought to do. And I thought, well, this is going to start out good because it's from the King James, he said. And it's got Romans and Ephesians, whatever. He must be born again. at the last, after a lot of good verses, saying you simply must, you've got to just simply trust. The Kathy told me as I was reading them to her, she was in the bathroom doing her hair, and I was reading them to her, she said, this is getting complicated. And yet he talks about the simplicity, but at the end it said, now, after you become saved, you need to get baptized with a public confession of faith. You see, that's what they all believe. Count, you've got to give an account that you're saved. Folks, my salvation between me and the Lord, faith to faith, I tell you how I got saved. I don't show you how I got saved by an action. I tell you and show you in the book by the action that was already accomplished, Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, look with me in verse 15. He said, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. I'm curious. What happened to them in verse 13? What were they sealed with? Yea or nay? Verse 18 of 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him. Now, how's that going to come? When Jesus Christ appeared to Paul, Saul of Tarsus, he told him, he said, go and it'll be told thee what thou must do. Okay? The only person that could really tell him anything would be Ananias. Does Ananias know the gospel of Christ? Okay. What does he tell him to do? He tells him to get baptized and receive the gift of what? Holy Spirit. What would the Holy Spirit be able to do with Paul? Teach him, as in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he said, the which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing scriptural things with spiritual. Now, Paul said, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to what? Did the Holy Spirit take him to the Scriptures and teach him the gospel? Okay. In teaching him the gospel, why is it so necessary for the devil to avoid Paul's writings? Read 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. If you acknowledge Christ as a heathen or a Jew elect of grace, where would you be able to go and know and understand that you weren't in the kingdom? 13 letters. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now watch, Ephesians 3:1. The Ephesians had the gospel of Christ. Were they sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise? Yes, they were. Were they adopted? By the way, one more passage before I do it. Ephesians 1, verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of what? Are the Ephesians adopted? Hold your finger there. Go to Romans chapter 8. Folks, don't let these people try to convince you that Romans and Corinthians and all that have nothing for us. They're out of their minds. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of adoption again to fear, but you have received the spirit of... I apologize. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of what? Adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. What gives you the right to cry, Abba, Father? Ephesians chapter 1 says you have the adoption, right? Because you have that Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Go back to Ephesians again, in Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Amen? Ephesians 3, verse 1. Now, His prayer to the new people that He writes to. Folks, He's writing to people that are new in the body of Christ, the Ephesians. Was there a day when you were new in the body of Christ? How did you like the Colossian letter? When you found out, let no man judge you in meat or in drink, respect the holy days, new moons, or Sabbath days. How did you like that? What if you never got that? You can get tossed to and fro pretty easy, couldn't you? Bonnie gets tossed to and fro to every person that wants to hold on to her and give her a kiss and look at her. She ain't got nothing. She ain't got no way to do it. Right? God gave you some letters to keep you being tossed to and fro where you could be established, absolutely, just completely settled in what you were doing. Okay? Most avoided two letters in the Bible are Ephesians and Colossians because it totally annihilates religion, separation between believers. All right, now watch, Ephesians 3:1. For this cause I, Paul the prisoner, Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. All right, that was the first thing the devil did when Jesus was born. Tried to kill the baby. Then the child. Right? What did he do when Jesus was 30? Tried to kill him several times, right? When he became 33, what did the devil do? Put him on a cross, right? By his own people, correct? Trying to get you to think. Okay? What did the devil do to Stephen? Okay? Who did he use to hold the clothes? And then God saved him. A man that don't deserve it. A pattern. Okay? Now, what did he do to Paul, the devil, in Acts 16? Put him in jail. Now let's go back to where Mrs. Hamlet was talking about. What did he do to him in Acts 14? Now, why did he have him stoned? Acts 13. Hold on there. Just a second. Folks, I'm trying to get you to understand. The more revelation, the more understanding Paul got, the worse the persecution began. Okay? Acts 13, first, verse 1. In Acts 13, 1. Now, there were in the church that was Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas, Simon, as called Niger, Lucius, Cyrene, Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, from the work whereunto I have called them. Now, would that be a key to the devil? Yes or no? Would the devil say, wait, whoa, hold up on here, what's he going to do with him? Right? I'm trying to get some novelty, folks. What is one of the issues that people reject that comes from your mouth about Christ? That you don't have to confess that you're not in remission, you're in forgiveness. Right? Acts 13, 9. Then Saul, who is also called what? The Holy Spirit in the Scripture says that this man's name is Paul. All right, 13:38. I apologize, I want to go back to verse 30:26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you fear God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. This salvation! Key! What did Paul say? Children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you fear God. Turn to Acts 10. And Peter has gone to a Gentile who is in the covenant. In Acts 10, verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and what? Did Paul say that? When God separated Paul, Paul does not say works of righteousness. Are you with me? In Acts 13:38, watch this. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you. Say it! Now what the devil heard? 39, and by him all that believe are justified from all things which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Did that make the devil mad? No. What does the devil do to him? In Acts 14, what did they do to him? They stoned him to death. Correct? Okay. Now, what does the devil... All right, now what has Paul revealed? Forgiveness and no law against. Right? The devil heard Paul say that I'd be given more revelation. He heard that also. So what would be the best thing to do to Paul or get him out of circulation? Are you with me? If he can't come and preach, they can't hear. What was the verse we read in Romans? What did it say? How shall they call on in whom they not believe, and how shall they believe in him in whom they not heard, and how shall they preach except they be sent? Okay? You with me? Ephesians 3. Verse 1. For this cause, I, Paul the prisoner, Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you, word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words. Go back to Ephesians 1, verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. How many of you liked the Ephesian letter when you read it the first time in your life? Did you ever see anything a little bit different about it? There is no quotation of the Old Testament. It wouldn't do any good. You're justified from all things which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Say yes, no, Brother Jerry, you're nutty. Folks, this is a blessed letter. A blessed letter. And if they read Ephesians 1 and 2, will the spirit of wisdom and the revelation of knowledge in him hit them like a rock? Will it instruct them? Will it show them what they have by being in the body? You with me? Now watch. Colossians chapter 1. And I'll shut up here. Colossians. Yeah. They're not direct quotes of the Old Testament. They might be, I don't know if there's a verse or two, but they're not direct. You see, folks, Colossians and Ephesians can't be quoting the Old Testament. There ain't nothing to do about it. That's the true mystery involved. And folks, they're the most blessed letters you'll ever read. They'll totally set you free, and they won't let nobody judge you. Have you ever been judged for going to that church? Have you ever been judged? Oh, you're one of them kind of believe you're just forgiven. That's right. I'm forgiven. Say, oh, you believe, don't believe you ought to work for your salvation. That's right. Because we ain't got nothing in the works of righteousness we can do. God is very clear, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Now you understand. But the Jews that Paul went to, they had to swallow their works of righteousness and trust him also. But that was God's promise in election of grace. Folks, you might be saved by grace, but you got that Holy Spirit of promise. That's what the book says. You might not have been saved by hope the way they did, but you received the hope of glory, Christ in you. That's what Colossians says. Anybody that tries to separate or break, that's not reading the Scriptures. They're making the Scripture do what they want them to do. Folks, I have taught you to rightly divide the Word of Truth since I've been here, and that's to keep you from out from under ordinances, but it's not to separate you from members of the body of Christ. It separates you from the world and the religious world and being not unequally yoked together with them, because they will put you in bondage. And that's why I teach rightly divided. I don't teach you to go around and say, I'm a rightly divider. I'm a rightly divider. No, that's what I do. I teach you the Scriptures rightly dividing, hoping that the Spirit of wisdom and knowledge comes in you so that you're grounded, settled, not tossed to and fro, and that you have a clear view of the fact that when Paul went into prison, he wrote two of the greatest letters that ever were because the devil was binding him so that he couldn't go and preach it, and God said, okay, now write it. And he wrote the unspeakable, unlawful words that couldn't be uttered before. It wasn't time. But it was then. Are you with me? Oh, but make it clear. Is everybody all right, or do you hate me? I love you. And I appreciate you being here.